here. Our lesson this month is entitled Born Again, or this quarter is entitled Born Again. And that's a phrase that's thrown around a lot these days. You hear born again Christians so much, you begin to wonder exactly what it means to some people. And it probably means different things to different people. It is, in its essence, a Bible phrase, not exactly those combination of words in quite that way, but it is a Bible idea, as we're going to see in the book of John, chapter 3, in just a few moments. We wonder, though, if there is some other kind of Christian. Are there born-again Christians in some other kind? Because the implication of the world, at least my inference, is that people think there are. That there are born-again Christians who are the really dedicated ones, the ones who are fired up about their faith, and then there are the other Christians, I guess, are the ones that aren't fired up about their faith, that show up from time to time, maybe, and are not the ones that are going to cause a great deal of difficulty with unbelievers, the ones who will compromise more than anything else. And that's just my inference, but it seems to be the distinction that people are trying to make. Being born again is sometimes made out to be just a purely emotional experience, and while we don't want to strip away the emotion entirely from our faith, that there's something more to faith than just that. There is a faithful, obedient response by the believer. There is a decision that is made to follow after Jesus Christ. It is a part of being born again as a Christian. Jesus is the one that initiated that talk, the idea of somebody being born again as his disciple, when he suffered the visit by Nicodemus at night. Nicodemus was afraid of being exposed as a believer, and I guess that really brings it to a head here as we think about the distinction between a born-again Christian and all the other kinds, whatever that could possibly be. Jesus is confronted with someone who claims to be a learner, a follower, a pursuer, if nothing else. And yet he does so at night so that he isn't exposed as such. And Jesus really challenges him to be more than he has been up to that point. He was not yet born again. I think that the entire scope of the teaching there is about the potential for him to be born again. He had the information to be born again. He had the invitation to do so. And our purpose in this hour is to provide the same kind of things to you. I want to start in the book of John, chapter 3. If you have your Bibles out and ready, that's where we're going to introduce things this afternoon. John, the third chapter. And this is the visit of Nicodemus. In John chapter 3 and verse 1, we find there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Idea of being born again of the water and the Spirit is what we're talking about in our songs and scriptures this afternoon. Being born again of that teaching influence of the Holy Spirit and the obedient response of the believer as he or she submits to the gospel in that watery grave of baptism. That's our consideration this hour. We're going to get started, as it says there in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 7, with a reading by Walker Smith as we meditate upon repentance, and then Jerry will lead us in three songs on that subject.
I'm happy. 295. This is one of those songs which the chorus is faster than the rest of the song, so I'll try and do that properly, just to let you know. So, 295. Sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all, who the heavenly pathway lead, all who linger, all who fall, sing it o'er and o'er again. Christ receive, Christ receive, make the message clear and plain. Christ receive.
Since you knew that he cared.
313. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be
considered repentance and the benefits of that. We'll now turn our attention to the subject of obedience. We'll have a reading from Romans chapter 6 by Doug Rowan, and Jeff Gary will lead us in three songs on obedience.
Galatians 6, verses 1 through 6. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. So let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all things with him who teaches.
Next song will be number 146. Have thine own way, Lord. 146. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold o'er my being absolute sway. Next song was number 119, number 119, Only in Thee. Number 119, Only in Thee, O Savior mine, dwelleth my soul in peace divine. Peace at the world, though all combined, never can take from me. Pleasures of earth so seemingly sweet, fail at the last my longing. Shines like a beacon in the night, guiding my pilgrim bark aright over life's trackless sea. Only in thee, when troubles when with temptation I am oppressed, there is a sweet pavilion of rest. Only, dear Lord, in thee. Only in thee, dear Savior slain. My own to gain, trusting I'm cleansed from every stain. Thou art my only plea. Only in thee my heart will delight, till in that land cometh no night, faith will
next song will be number 339, You Must Be Born Again. Number 339.
A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, he must be born again. He must be born again. He must be born again. I verily, verily say unto to the word so solemnly uttered by Jesus the Lord, and let not this message to you be in vain. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, he must be born again. Oh, ye would enter that glorious rest and sing with the ransom the song of the blessed, the life everlasting if you would obtain, he must be born again. Ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. I verily, verily say unto thee, ye must be born again.
We're going to pause at this point for our middle prayer. We'll ask Tom Thompson. Isn't that?
Yes.
progressed a little bit here from repentance to talk about obedience. Now we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about and meditating upon faithfulness. Brother Gary Webster is going to read for us from 1 John chapter 5, and then Rick Hightower will lead us in three songs on the subject of faithfulness.
First John chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. He who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God.
Number 390, Anywhere with Jesus. 390.
No soul. Anywhere with Jesus I can safely go. Anywhere he leads me in this world below. Anywhere without him, dearest joys would fade.
Number 326, Trust and Obey. 326, Trust and Obey.
No, so me don't. When we walk with the Lord in the light, all who will trust and obey.
576, Faith is the Victory. 576, Faith is the Victory.
No soul encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing sky. Against the foe in veils below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory.
Last part of our sermon of Scripture and Song is our invitation. We'll have invitation song number 331 in just a few moments. But open your Bibles to Romans chapter 6, if you would. Romans, the sixth chapter, as we consider our invitation for this afternoon. In Romans 6, Paul is the writer writing to the saints there in Rome. He writes, Romans 6 and verse 1, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" He answers, "Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin." And as we look at Romans 6 and think back to our original text, as we think about those the words of Jesus to Nicodemus regarding the idea of being born again, certainly what he had in mind was newness of life. The barriers to being born again tend to be creedal or inconvenient. That is, one has been taught something else so long that he cannot see himself submitting to baptism as a requirement, as a necessity. Or the inconvenience, rather I would say the pride, but the inconvenience as the excuse for why one does not respond at least as quickly as he might otherwise do. It is as often the case that these are the exceptions that are taken rather than disbelief or reluctance for some other reason. The commands and the examples in the New Testament are just too plain. Only by pitting one verse against another can you arrive at a place where there's doubt and skepticism and reluctance to obey what the Word says. It's just too plain for any hearer to be able to refuse to be a doer and still enjoy the approval of God and have excuse before God that what you wrote was not understandable, that the vast majority couldn't get it. The reasons are different than that. The Word is understandable. The fact is that God sent his Son to die. Tom prayed very eloquently this evening about Jesus there upon the cross. And God sent his Son and allowed him to die. And God invites the killers of his Son to live. Now you have to consider that sentence, its biblical truth, and bring your mind all the way around it and look at it, because that's where the truth is. That God sent his Son to die and invites his Son's killers to live. You have to be born again based upon that. And that should not be an onerous obligation. It should not be that we look at the cross and say, "I see it." But there are some things that God asks that are too much. There are some things that men ask that are too much. I agree with that. But there's nothing that God asks that could ever be too much when you think about the cross. It's a small part of the price, the cost that one pays to express faith, to return that belief to God, as he sends us reason to have faith, to change, to be changed in his presence. The song, "You Must Be Born Again," Jesus said it, "You must be born again." Now we consider this invitation, the invitation song as well, as it invites us to kneel at the cross. Would you do exactly that this evening as we stand together and sing this?
Kneel at the
there.